Our presenter today is Karan Saluja. She's the good. She is mother of three daughters and deputy director of Nutrition Education Public Health Foundation WIC program. She has worked with the WIC program for 19 years. She's served as chair of the National Association of WIC Directors Breastfeeding Committee from 1997 to 2000 and has also served as president of the board of directors of the Breastfeeding Task Force of Greater Los Angeles. She's now a nationally known speaker on breastfeeding promotion. So without further ado, Karan.
Good afternoon. I love the order she did that in, which is such a correct order, especially for this audience. Mother of three, very important. And pretty much, for those of you who know me, and there's so many familiar faces, please, why are you here? I'm saying the same thing. The pressure is so high when I see people like Kathy in the room. Oh, my goodness. Karen sitting here. Eileen sitting there. Okay, so I'm nervous about this. But yes, I am the mother of three, and 21 years ago in October, it will be 21 years ago, I gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. You know, we all think our babies are beautiful, no matter how ugly they are. Anyway, this one was actually quite cute. And through whatever happened that happens with women who are either not empowered enough or are new immigrants in the country or are intimidated by the hospitals, whatever it is, I have lots of reasons, things didn't go right. And 3 weeks later, when I was told by my, I guess, well-meaning but really idiotic doctor that, okay, what I said to you about not breastfeeding, you can now go back and do it because, you know, you don't have some kind of cancer in your breast. You have red milk, and it's just one of those things that I can't understand. I didn't, you know. It was too late for me to be able to go back and do it. I was not connected to wonderful people like those in League. And, you know, it was a lot of crying, pain, and et cetera. And then I joined the WIC program, and as you heard, it's been 19 years. So I decided if I was going to have any more babies, I would have them with WIC, and I would use every opportunity that I got to learn more. And so my dear friend who's presenting in the next room, Kitty, is actually the woman who I went up to with the first time I met her at a WIC conference and said, do you know something about funny stuff coming out of your breast that doesn't look like milk? And Kitty put her arm around me and consoled me and told me, you're not supposed to look at what comes out of your breast. You're supposed to feed it to the baby. I'm like, oh, well, gee, why didn't anybody tell me that? And so number two and number three were very happily breastfed for, you know, 2 years each. And I think that is kind of what got me doing what I'm doing today, which is, what can I do? You know, it's that one little mosquito that keeps nagging you. Hey, it can give you a lot of bites and make life really uncomfortable. So kind of that's my mission in life. I'm that nagging bug that's out there that won't go away. And one of these days, I know that one of the formula companies will take out a fatwa on my life, which will be so exciting because then I'll be just like Salman Rushdie, right? Because I am going to annoy these guys to death, and that's my aim. So what can we do in WIC? Thank you. Thank you. And then having said that, WIC program, how many of you here are WICies? I see so many faces I recognize. Thank you for being out there, doing the work you did, and being here. I just kind of tell you the anomaly of WIC. Others of you who are associated with the WIC program, let the WICies keep their hands up, and those of you associated with WIC in some ways. Okay, great. And thank you again for being here and being supportive of WIC and not throwing. Yesterday I spoke in front of the physicians, and I wore a red suit. And somebody said, why red? And I kind of said, just in case anybody throws tomatoes at me, it'll blend in. Because you never know the kind of response you get sometimes when you say you're from the WIC program. So because of who we are, because of what we do, because of where we do what we do, we have to be really creative about how we do it. And so that's kind of what this is all about, creative breastfeeding promotion. And we'll kind of go on this journey together, look at a whole bunch of slides, and it's formula, eat my dust. And that's what it is, right? We want to room out in our breastfeeding chariot out there, and we want to just settle the world. And we will one of these days. I mean, how many of you have seen things are changing? Things are so different. You see articles in the Washington Post, the New York Times. These are happening very regularly. I think we have to thank Health and Human Services, Office of Women's Health for some of this. But does this keep doing it? Yeah, it keeps moving. Okay, they're distracting. So I'll move the slide. Anyway, so promover, the word promotion, is really to move forward, to contribute to the growth of and the prosperity of, and we as a unit are doing it to the fact that breastfeeding does a baby good, pass it on. I want to tell you that a lot of these beautiful pictures are part of a very, very creative breastfeeding promotion effort in Sonoma County. They do this fabulous calendar every year. It's like a contest. And as you see these pictures, I'm just so fortunate to be able to, you know, get the calendar from and scan them in, because you can do so much with PowerPoint. So I encourage you to look for these. Every year they have a new calendar. You can go back and get old calendars. Fabulous images of breastfeeding in and around California, and you'll keep seeing more and more. So again, fact, breastfeeding does a baby good. Let's pass it on. Isn't there an ad campaign like that somewhere, right? Milk does a body good. Pass it on. Yeah, it's milk. It's breast milk. And interesting, we are really coming to this, that breastfeeding is not for the fortunate few. It's not a unique opportunity to do something special for your baby. It's something every mother who can should do. Thank God they did it thousands of years ago. Otherwise, you and I would be extinct along with those dinosaurs, right? And again, the decision to breastfeed is as natural an outcome to childbirth. It is a natural choice. I mean, this whole idea of normal and natural, we've really come to recognize that that is the way we want to go. It is only natural. It's natural for puppies. People accept that. They accept foals to breastfeed. They accept they understand that puppies will do it, kittens will do it. But there's a real disconnect when it comes to humans. And that is our challenge, so we don't go, ah, when we see something like this, but actually say, isn't that the best? And go up and congratulate this mother for how innovatively she's breastfeeding her little toddler. I mean, wow, you don't even have to sit down, you know. This is so cool. All this, again, look at these pictures, these babies. I think at a league conference, you kind of see this, and it's fine because you see babies in slings, and it's so normal to see mom registering at front desk while her, you know, 18-month-old is breastfeeding in a sling. But you don't see these images outside of these very special places. So images like this are so important for all of us to be showing our colleagues, our superiors, just lay population. We almost should be walking billboards to say, this is normal, this is natural, watch this, this is okay, don't flinch. Unfortunately, babies in bottles are indeed synonymous in our culture. I don't know if I'm going to be telling you anything you don't know, so I'll apologize for that up front. It's certainly not babies in breasts, and that's kind of that, you know, salmon swimming upstream. I came down the elevator into the grand ballroom just as people were walking in for lunch. So you can imagine it was that feeling of how do we get people to accept breasts versus bottles. It's like walking into this, and I was going the wrong way, because I was going to the registration desk. So I finally just stopped. I said, okay, now how do I do this? And, you know, about 1,000 excuse me's later, I found another door. And so there was a back way to do this. And my point in this is that with breastfeeding, we have to find those back ways. Because there are those back ways that exist. There are those interesting ways that we can infiltrate the marketing campaigns of formula companies rather than them doing it to us. We need to do it to them. We need to sabotage their efforts so that babies and breasts do become synonymous in our lifetime, especially given the fact that we have these kind of credentials behind us. Everybody is extolling the benefits of breastfeeding, the American Academy of Pediatrics, United States Department of Agriculture, in fact, dietitians. How many of you in this room? The American Dietetic Association's position paper on breastfeeding is actually really something to be very proud of. And if you haven't read it, I encourage you to pick it up and read it. I almost want to say it mirrors what the AAP did. And the American Academy of Family Physicians statement, I think, was in the packets that were given out yesterday. I don't know if it's in today's. But again, if you haven't seen it, go on their website, download it. This is how we're going to make change happen with the professional colleagues across the, you know, across this white chasm sometimes in hospitals, in private practices. They will read what their colleagues have written. Keep copies of these, because you're going to be faxing them to them, you're going to be showing it to them, you're going to be passing it out at your conferences. Let them read the fact that their peers are talking about breastfeeding the same way. I think we've all celebrated when the blueprint on breastfeeding came out, and it was a wonderful document when Dr. Satcher, you know, was in the press release, his images were all over. Even our, I think, LA Times actually did a little, you know, 1.5-inch by 1.5-inch piece on it, which is the smallest you can get, but at least it was there. It was a great time, and what he spoke of was really eliminating, or at least reducing, the disparities in breastfeeding rates, really highlighting that this is indeed something we need to wake up and look at. The groups that need the health benefits the most have the lowest rates. Fabulous document. The U.S. Breastfeeding Committee was really close behind, brought out their wonderful protecting, promoting, supporting breastfeeding in the U.S. Again, these are kind of like, and I don't mean to be facetious here any particular way, so forgive me, don't take it like that, but it's like our Bible. We need these documents at hand. We need to have them sitting on our shelves. We need to be showing them to people. We need to have multiple copies so we can give them away to people. Because what's contained in these documents is what we are all about. They make those words come out, not from our mouths, but from the mouths of very wise people, people who belong to international groups, people who belong to national groups, and it lends them that credibility that sometimes what you and I have to say may not come across, and even though what you're saying is probably even better. So keep them with you and use them at every step. Now, we've all heard these slogans, so there's a lot of sloganeering around it. You know, people have made money off of bumper stickers and all kinds of things. Breast is best, breast or bust. You know, these things are like breastfeeding is best feeding, the gold standard. I mean, I subscribe to all of these. Ideal nutrition, good as gold, you know, food for smarter kids. I mean, in this room, if we sat down for 5 minutes at a quiet moment, I know we would come out with 20 great slogans because it's so easy with breastfeeding for us to actually, you know, eulogize it, really. I mean, this is a fabulous thing. It's easy to do. There's brand new research every day adding to what we already know about the numerous good effects of breastfeeding for mom, family, society, and more research on who can breastfeed. Women who are depressed can breastfeed. If you're taking Prozac, you can. You can breastfeed. That's it. Not a big deal. We heard Miriam LeBlanc on the HIV issue. We're not ready to deal with that in the United States, but just to have her hear what she said, for some of us, it's like, wow, thank God there's some reason and logic coming across folks out in the countries which are ravaged by HIV, which are now, you know, having issues with formula for those little babies. And I think we all remember what UNICEF went through, the little scandalous period about 4 years ago when Nestle was trying to zoom in on opportunities and exploit HIV. I mean, will they stop at nothing? No, they won't. Why? Because it means dollars and cents. The obesity stuff, fresh, hot, new, everywhere. This is an old one. But there's new stuff on obesity. When you have people like Eric Bost, and if you don't know him, good man whose name you should get to know, very friendly man. He is, I don't know his exact title, but he's like a big shot. How's that? At FNS, Food and Nutrition, USDA. Is he a deputy secretary? Is that what he is? Yes. B-O-S-T. Eric B-O-S-T. Undersecretary of Agriculture of USDA. I mean, like I said, big guy, very important man in charge of all the food and nutrition programs, including food stamps and, of course, WIC, school lunch, school nutrition, etc. And when he gets up there and in front of 1,200 people, he says, breastfeeding is something that we all need to be looking at as something that will prevent obesity. I mean, this is like fabulous. We now have government people in positions that count recognizing a connection between breastfeeding and something that we are very concerned about as a nation, our widening girths. And they are recognizing that breastfeeding is where it's at. CDC, William Dietz, he's right up there. Bill Dietz will get up and say, 4 ways to prevent obesity. Number one is breastfeeding. And in case you want to know the others, of course, are eating fruits and vegetables, not watching television so much, and soft drinks, is that right? Fruit juices, what's the fourth one? Anybody remember? Dietitians? Exercise, physical activity, that's right. So breastfeeding is like really coming to itself with this big issue that we are having in public health out there, the pandemic of obesity. And I just show you this slide because this is a really old red book. How many of you remember this old red book? One of our coalitions in California in the Bakersfield area did a great spin-off. I've always loved it. And they look at this, they put this up, and they say, what is the best Bond ever? Is it Sean Connery? No. Is it Pierce Brosnan? It is breastfeeding. And I mean, what a clever thing. So how creative can you be? Take contemporary culture and get creative. People relate to Pierce Brosnan on different levels. This is something you can show a men's club because we're recognizing dads have a lot to do with breastfeeding. What better image than to get a man to connect with 007? And there's got to be a new one coming out, I know. reaching out to different ethnic groups. Yes, we've heard in research that people don't really relate to images of pop stars and all breastfeeding. But when you need them for a certain ethnic group, for a certain cultural group, let's use them. Holly Pete Robertson here with her two babies, and they were breastfed. She was on Ebony magazine. We use this in our clinics in our big centers that had more African American populations, and we were, bottom line, exploited the magazine cover for all it was worth. What does it do? Does it get people to breastfeed? No, but it starts a conversation. And we are recognizing now we've got to start conversations. We've got to have these dialogues. Somebody comes up to you and says, what does that have to do with what's going on in WIC? And boom, that's your entry. Did you know? What do you think about? What have you heard? And suddenly you have this great conversation going, which is, again, what we need to go. So, again, for the wikis in the group, again, if you were at the lunch, you heard Miriam Labak. I wish I had that slide. I like that better than I like mine. So we'll pretend this doesn't exist. But really, rates are increasing. Rates are increasing everywhere. But as you see here, what I didn't do is what Miriam did, is which is to show you that, yes, WIC rates have definitely gone up. But what she showed us is that WIC rate, the population for WIC, our rates have gone up almost 50% versus the rest of the population, which is up about 22%. So not only are more women breastfeeding and breastfeeding longer nationally, but the money and the effort and the time and the energy and the passion and the love, and I could go on and on, that is happening in the WIC program is really making a difference. So this is not just for the WIC folk, but definitely all of us, we're doing something right. Things are changing. They're molting. So what a great job. This is a good time to give ourselves a hand. Let's do that. Come on. Yeah. Woo. This is a breastfed baby, by the way, one of my colleagues. And so just like 2 minutes on WIC, I promise you, because I have to do that. That's why my boss lets me come to these things. You know, it's like, yeah, I'll talk about WIC too. It's okay. It's okay. So here I am, USDA on the 4th of July. By the way, I do apologize. Happy 4th. Whether you are a U.S. citizen or not a U.S. citizen, this is a great day to be in this country, and a very happy 4th to all of you. I should have worn red, white, and blue, too. We want to make breastfeeding as right up there, as American, as apple pie. Apple pie and breastfeeding, what a combination, right? So WIC comes from the United States Department of Agriculture. It has run the program since 1974. We will be 30 years old next year, and we will have a big birthday bash, I'll guarantee you. Again, just to give you an idea, it's creative opportunities. These are posters created by staff at the WIC program, and they're such fabulous pieces. It gets teamwork built up, it gets people talking, and it gets a little competitive spirit going. And we have 54 different WIC centers. This was about 6-7 years ago, but these are like forever immortalized in pictures. The posters are long gone, but it's so cute. Give a cow a break. So what does WIC do? WIC is famous for nutrition education, for referrals and supplemental food, kind of the planks that we stand on. And this skeleton, which now is an open secret, you know, we came out long before everybody else came out. And so as we came out, you recognize that we are dealing on a daily basis in a sometimes antagonistic, sometimes friendly basis, because there are some moms who absolutely need this product, but a lot of times we are caught between, whatever those, you know, sometimes I don't know what to say. Anyway, so we do give out formula. The thing that we have been sometimes accused of in WIC is, oh, yes, so what's so different? You want to stop gift packs at hospitals. Look at your own house. You know, don't cast the first stone if you live in glass houses. All of those analogies and what are those things called that people say. Well, what typically my usual response to that, and I don't want to be defensive about it, but the truth of it is that in WIC, our redeeming grace is you have to ask for formula before you get it. WIC doesn't usually give it away willy-nilly. But if you go to a WIC center, we do everything we can to hide the fact that we give out formula. You don't see anything about formula anywhere. When we do orientation for WIC, we try to avoid the F word because it's a dirty word for all of us also, believe it or not. But somehow people all know about it. Somebody told somebody who told somebody who told somebody. And when people say, oh, what about formula? We're like, no, who told you about? We talk about breastfeeding. So it's pervasive. It's the culture that we are trying to change. And the reality is that if mothers who come to WIC and ask for infant formula, if they don't get it, then they will end up feeding their babies we don't know what. And we don't want to go there. We want this to be a change that is coming from the mother. And it is coming. We have more and more mothers who are coming in and saying, no, that's okay, I don't need it. I want to exclusively breastfeed, and that's kind of where we are going. But in the meantime, yes, my dear friend formula is not my dear friend. So indeed, our challenge in WIC is bigger than any other challenge, which is why we have to be so creative, is we are within a very formula feeding environment, trying really to push the envelope of breastfeeding everywhere we go, one mother at a time. And legislatively, through Congress, through efforts at USDA, lots and lots has been done in these past 30 years to really kind of reinvent WIC. And to be real honest, it has really been done since 1989. As, again, Miriam talked about Catherine Bertini. She was the undersecretary, I believe. Am I right? Somebody help me with that. She was the undersecretary of WIC around the time that some of these legislative changes happened in public law when WIC got reauthorized. 1989, $8 million. Very first time this happened. $8 million was set aside to promote breastfeeding. Because remember, the program in 1974 was created to respond to the fact that women were having low birth weight babies, that babies and children had anemias, rampant anemias, and women were not breastfeeding. So the program was created as a response to that with some help from the dairy industry. And so the natural pieces that fell into place were fortified, iron-fortified formula for infants, a standard product, FDA-approved, that would give them the iron they needed because, of course, they weren't breastfeeding. And then, of course, a standard package of other foods with some vital nutrients that women and children needed for healthy growth and lots of nutrition education. That was the way the program got conceived. So it took them 15 years. But 15 years, it was not bad. They realized, wait a minute, something's wrong here. Formula prices are going up. WIC is paying for all of this. Stop. Somebody wake up and think. And there's some literally three, four key people who just stirred up a storm. And on top of that, mosquito and being annoying. Can you imagine the power of these four or five individuals who worked with USDA, worked with Congress, got $8 million written in. 1989 also, we had the same, in the same public law that came out, was that every state would also do a rebate contract on infant formula so that we wouldn't be paying arm over fist for formula, and it wouldn't be the taxpayers' money going away in big chunks. And you may or may not be shocked to hear that currently the WIC rebate is something to the extent of $1.2 billion, which then goes on to serve additional WIC caseload to the tune of about 29% of our total caseload in the country today. The food funds for that come from infant formula rebates. So it's an interesting relationship. We'll talk about that a little bit more. The reason the other dates are on, in 1992, the first time, we had the exclusive breastfeeding packet come out. Now women who were exclusively breastfeeding wouldn't leave WIC with nothing more than they got while they were pregnant. They would go, they would leave, and they say, I'm still getting the same thing, but my friend who's formula feeding, she got two things. She got something for herself and something for the baby. And something for the baby was formula. So this was a very clever way to change that whole perceived value of breastfeeding by saying, you're special, you're breastfeeding. But since WIC is a nutrition program, it had to be something that met the nutritional needs of the breastfeeding mom. And sometimes nature works against us. You know, women don't need a whole lot more to breastfeed. That's a good thing. But in WIC, what did it mean was we couldn't make a big excuse to give him a whole fabulous package of extra foods. So what could we give him? We give him some carrots. We give him some tuna, you know, extra protein. We give him some extra cheese. So, you know, it's something, but it's not all that. We have to just project it to be all that. And we're having a bit of a problem with the fish right now because we've all heard about mercury, so everybody's heard about mercury. So anyway, you know, how things change. Hawaii, you'd be very pleased to hear this, has actually worked with USDA and changed their tuna to salmon. So now we're thinking, oh, that's cool. Why don't we all do that? That may make it more interesting. So think about this. You know, something creative, right? Anyway, moving along, in 1998, this allocation for breastfeeding changed from like a set-aside of $8 million to a per-person amount, and it was about $21 for every pregnant and breastfeeding woman enrolled in WIC. Currently, it's almost $25 for every pregnant and breastfeeding woman in the WIC program needs to be spent on breastfeeding, promotion. And then, of course, this wonderful loving support program. Kathy, you have to stand up at this moment right now because this is Kathy Carruthers who will answer any question you have. Come on. She's from Best Start. She's the wonderful woman who made Mississippi look different. Kathy. And Kathy is now a part of Best Start, the people who are responsible for making this campaign come to life. It was a USDA-sponsored effort. And what's great about this program or this whole campaign was all the research that went into it. They put in, they had 10 pilot states, they went out there, Best Start did the research, and came out with what we now know really well. Guess what, Vic, in your last so many years, you've done a good job. Everybody knows about the benefits of breastfeeding. So women will tell you the benefits of breastfeeding. So stop telling them that. You know how hard it is for me to tell my staff that? They do not believe me. What I tell them, I said, you have 5 minutes with the mom, guys, okay? Don't stop at what she already knows. Don't, you know, fast talk, speed talk, push fast forward with breastfeed because blah, 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 blah. But she already knows all that. And what they found out in their research is they still are not able to breastfeed or choose not to breastfeed because the costs of breastfeeding are so high. Again, things you know, the cost being, it's the embarrassment issue. The cost being, I have to go back to work. That's a huge cost. These things are a real problem for our moms working. And then the cost of, I don't have any support. Fine for you to do, what about me? I know the benefits. So can you imagine the anguish those moms are going through? We've sold them on the benefits. We haven't changed the landscape in which they're breastfeeding. I see an orange card right up there. Yes, ma'am. Right. I will do my best. Thank you. Thank you. I will do my best. How do you think my staff learned how to speak fast, right? I think it's because it's a second language. I kind of feel if I say it really fast, you won't see all the mistakes I made. This is the agency I work with. It's the Public Health Foundation in Los Angeles. We call it the Big WIC program because in our fast food, our McDonald's, right, our answer to McDonald's, we serve 316,825 participants every single month. L.A. is pretty big, guys. We are only one of 7 different agencies in L.A. So if you put all of us together, the WIC population is over 500,000 participants in Los Angeles. So we think we are a very big chunk of the 7.6 million people that get served in the WIC program. Now, here's a did you know. How many of our infants in the United States are on the WIC program? 1 out of 2, right? Can you believe that? We are an affluent country. This is kind of sad. 1 out of 2 kids, 1 out of 2 infants are on the WIC program. That's pretty phenomenal. So what have we done to really work this, you know, the challenge with formula next to us and coming out of every, you know, machine that people wanted? You have to work with living environments. You know, this Hilton is a big hotel. How many of you have got lost more than once? I'm always lost. Thank you. Today we are here. It's the La Leche League. It's a fabulous atmosphere. It's mothers, it's babies, it's parenting, it's dads, it's attachment. You know what? Tomorrow, Nestle might come in and have a function here. It's quite likely. It's going to change a lot, right? But the hotel doesn't care. What we need to do everywhere we go is we need to create a living, viable environment. When people walk into our offices, our homes, our WIC centers, our administrative offices, it needs to vibrate with the sound of breastfeeding. Right? The sound we love. What can we do to change this environment? We can go with images. And we've really done well with that. All of you have done so beautifully with that. You've taken your own images. You've bought posters. I mean, and the posters out there are so clever. The new ones from InFact, has anyone, I'm sure you all have seen those, just babies on breasts, and they talk about neurology, dentistry. Thank you. All of those. I mean, just images. And again, what do? They don't tell you breast is best. They start conversations. So we put them up in our main big meeting room that gets used by MCH directors, the local you know, task forces that meet there, the local WIC project directors who get there, and people come and say, I really like that, but what does that mean? It's like, Ask me. I want to be able to tell you. Ask me. And people do ask. So exploiting those opportunities to create the living environments. So where I work, it was a big shed at one time, kind of like a big Costco. And then we went in and we put offices. But we have a very long, narrow corridor. And people said, long, narrow corridor, that's depressing. And we said, that's opportunity. And when you have 640 employees who work for you, that's real opportunity. It's opportunity to celebrate employees who breastfeed. And if you don't know this, because you haven't heard me say this, I'll tell you this again. We have about 40 to 50 babies a year out of our employee pool. You know, we hire women. Everybody's in the prime age. I don't think they heard Miriam talk about optimal spacing. You're having a lot of babies pretty quickly. And we get lots of babies. 100% initiation rate for breastfeeding. 100%. And all these pictures go up there. October of last year, in the American Dietetic Association, one of my colleagues actually published her paper, which she did with early perinatal support in the WIC program. It starts out when they're pregnant. It ties them up with lactation coaches, who are other WIC staff members who've been trained, which helps, because then they help moms better. They have this absolute experimental field that they're working with. They work with real people, and they work with their colleagues. There's a lot of help and support. Our mothers breastfeed exclusively. The environment when they come back to work couldn't be more favorable. And they are exclusively breastfeeding at rates of 75 to 80% at 6 months. And at 1 year, we have over 60% of them still breastfeeding. And we have all kinds of breastfeeding. So support your staff. You can't go out and support breastfeeding for the world if your own people you're working with are not getting that support. You build resentment. You don't build coalitions and bridges and nuclear reactors for breastfeeding. That's what we need to build, everyone a force. We do these special stories where we highlight employees who've had challenges. And believe it or not, out of 40, at least 20 have had some challenge or the other. Either it's a relative issue, or it's a hospital issue, or it's a physiological, that's just my funky body issue. And you know what? You overcome them one mom at a time, and you put their stories up. And this is not so much for our own staff who reads it. It's for all the volume of people. It's for those contractors who come to fix the bathroom. You know, it's amazing how men will stand there and read this and say, I often watch, you know, one guy telling the other, nudging him, because now suddenly they're thinking, breasts. Wait a minute, the last time I heard about breasts was in a different context. What's this one all about? And gradually, you know, it's like chipping away the tip of the iceberg. We are flattening that iceberg, and we are negating some of these cultural issues. So this is our one-year wall, and I think you can see a little bit of 2 years and a little bit of further. So I'll show you another picture. Mothers who breastfed for 3 years and over. And it just continues, because on one side is everybody, on the other side is the toddler wall. And guess what everybody wants to do? They want to jump from one to the other, precisely. You know, human beings are competitive. Let's use that competition in a constructive way. So, again, tandem nursing is common with us. We have had at least 5 of our employees tandem nurse. This is just one. In fact, at one time I had a picture of both of them, she and another woman who were tandem nursing at the same time. But it's normal. That's what we are trying to do, is we are trying to get everyone to think, it is normal for people to do this. This is expected, normal, fine behavior. So you get them where you get them. You get them where they can't escape. You get them and they go potty. Every month, and I know Meg, I see you here. You've seen these when you come to my office. She takes one every time. There is a little message that says, if you'd like one, please ask the... did you know you could get it from the front desk? No wonder they're missing from the bathrooms. I'm teasing, yes. So, and we changed these. Fortunately for us, the internet explosion happened, and there is so much good stuff on breastfeeding that with the click of a computer key, you can pull out, easy to read stuff, stick it in a bathroom. You know, there it is. The one that you see there talks about Congresswoman Maloney's bill that she had done. So it's an old picture, but these get changed on a monthly basis. We, in fact, have people who come to meetings every 3 months and often will come and say to me, you know, I read something about this the last time. Are you sure you've changed it? There was one on obesity, and I said, yeah, we changed it. There's new research on obesity. That's why it's a different reading, but it may sound like the same. They are looking to see this building block. Get them where you can get them. This is as close to a one-on-one, no interruption, best thinking time that you can get. Let's start hitting it up. Again, the kind of posters that our staff does. I mean, what a great take on Finding Waldo. You find five breastfeeding women. I have had people... In California, we passed a law, AB 157, about four or five years ago, which said women can breastfeed out there in the public and not be arrested. And this was after that one of our staff came up with this. You have a question, ma'am?
Do you have copies of that?
I can send you a picture. Is that what you'd like? Absolutely.
I was thinking pediatrician's offices.
This was actually a bulletin board that they did. So, like I said, a lot of these things have over time, you know, the bulletin boards are whatever, believe it or not, a scarce commodity, so they kind of die. But the pictures are there, and we can talk about these slides. Any of these, they're yours to take. I have no proprietary interest on them. They are my WIC moms, our WIC staff, they're all yours. So, absolutely, I will let you know how you can get these from me. The training that we have to do with our staff, you know, it's almost like the 10 steps to baby friendly. We have 10 steps to make your WIC centers breastfeeding friendly. And just like with the hospitals, you've got to make sure that everybody on your staff understands it. Nancy White yesterday said something really interesting, and this is not to offend anybody, but she did talk about how there are some people, no matter what you do, you can't change. And she said, you know, you just have to wait for them to die. Now, I have a different take on it. I did use that yesterday. I thought about it. No, I'm not happy with saying that. What I really am happy with saying is I'm just going to wait for some of them to retire or resign because they're so unhappy with what's going on. But this is one of our efforts. I can guarantee you that there's nobody I know who has been to this five-day training, which now we have asked and made the program a six-day program. And we break it up in kind of eatable chunks of 2 days, 2 days, 2 days, with many months put in between so people can really let the material sink in. No one who's been through this training has come out of it and been the same. People have all moved. Some have moved from here to there. Some have moved from here to here. But they've all moved. And so we're putting a lot of effort into sending our staff through this and through some special monies. We were just recently able to do a collaborative partnership between other WIC programs where we are sending 100 paraprofessionals through the same training that their nutritionists and supervisors have received in the past. And peer counseling is where it's at. And this is taking peer counseling and making it a little bit bigger by sending them through a slightly different level of a program. Because they have always said to us at least, well, why is it my supervisor gets to go when she doesn't even speak the language? She calls me to try and translate for her. So we said, okay, you go. So each of the big WIC programs in LA are sending 33 of their staff through this, and we just started the first program last week. So what can we do? How can we creatively fund some of these efforts so we bring not just what we do in training our people, but bring first-class programs from the outside into us? Is it certified lactation educator? Is it a university program? Our staff can use those education credits. It can change their whole life with what they do with their lives. They can go on to get bachelor's degrees. They can go on to get professional affiliations out there. And this is a step in the right direction with breastfeeding becoming, again, the nucleus of learning, which it was always meant to be. So we then celebrate our staff. It's great that the staff breastfeeds, but we've got to boast about it. We've got to get everybody out there to see that they do it. So we got this idea of making these big posters, taking big pictures, and then putting them up in our big clinics. Right next to where the employee works, right at her desk, is her particular poster. What does it say? Yo le doy pecho a mi bebé, usted también puede. I breastfeed my baby, you can breastfeed too. So simple a message. And how empowering is it? I'm sitting here, I'm working, I'm here all the time. That's me, I look like you. I'm Latina. I was on the WIC program. Many of our staff have been on the WIC program themselves. Can we create these similarities among people so that people can identify with people? And then again, like I said, it opens opportunities for dialogue. You'd be surprised, or actually you're not surprised, you're all so bright. You know what this does, right? is that you? Is that your baby? You mean you breastfed? Hey, you know, I've always wanted to ask a question. Boom, your dialogues are happening. Or, you're working, right? How long were you able to do that? And I already told you, our rates are phenomenal. And sometimes this has led one of our staff to take a mom to the room where she's pumped, show her the refrigerator where she's kept the milk for the day, and say, this is how my baby is growing. And we all know about empowerment. It still gives me the chills to think about the fact that a woman's body, my body did it, but that was a long time ago. My body's old now. But our bodies nurture and sustain these babies. That's all they're being getting is they're getting on our breasts. And they're growing and they're thriving. What a kick. What a kick. And this mother is proudly showing this off. So we've done them in all languages. We've got these posters in Chinese, in Cambodian, where our rates are not very high, in Vietnamese, and we've also, of course, got them in Spanish and English. And we do a special poster for every one of our moms. And what they like to do is take that big picture home, because those are great shots. And with digital cameras, so much is possible. It's made our life easier. Yes, ma'am. That's a very interesting comment, and I accept your comment. We have used the word breastfeed like, you know, it's like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, it's just like the word. So I hear what you're saying in terms of technicality, but it's very colloquial for all of us, at least in the WIC program. I don't know about others of you. And in fact, people have come to me and said what you just said about nursing the same way and said, why do you use the word nurse? And I know a very dear friend of mine, I think Shelley is the one who kind of taught me some of these things. But that's an interesting comment. I will keep that. When the campaign came out, the Loving Support campaign, we figured, okay, now we need to do more with this. And I know several of you have seen this slide. Because we're such a big WIC program, we serve, you kind of recognize the Hollywood Hills. We have clinics around Hollywood. There are poor areas there. We have clinics around Long Beach. These things are like very separated by about 40 miles of freeway. We have clinics on the east in Pomona. We have clinics on the west in like Culver City and right around Santa Monica. Again, at least a 60-mile of freeway span in between. So we have these big trucks that go from center to center delivering supplies. And we thought, man, what better billboards but these wonderful white surfaces? And the cutest story I can tell you about this, about changing people's minds, is that big burly guys drive these trucks. And initially when we said, we'd like to put a little something on this, what I heard was, I don't think Alvaro would be very happy with this. And we said, let's talk to Alvaro. And we found out that Alvaro's wife is going to have a baby. And then Alvaro, who works in our warehouse, his wife not only had the baby, but Alvaro came to every support group. And do you think he's proud? He says, I honk my truck so people look at me when I'm driving. I get their attention. He's so proud. Every one of our guys is proud. In fact, Kathy will remember the story as we talk about this campaign, that our warehouse manager then got so creative. This was our first set of trucks. But, you know, trucks die because they do so much. So when the next set of trucks came, she said, I know, we need to have a bid, not just painting the sides and the back, but the top. And so, you know, what stupid me, I'm like, why do you want to paint the top? That's going to be another $600. And she said, you're so silly, Kiran. Look at all the TV news and all the car chases. We might have some TV coverage for free someday. I'm like, oh my goodness, what a great idea. I never thought about it. I mean, you get these creative juices and they flow through everybody. So we have the top painted. Haven't been caught in a car chase yet. Thank God, I think, because that's kind of dangerous. But as you know, in L.A., they're very, very common. Every day you have somebody or the other on the news being chased by like 55 cops, and you have TV news following it and televising it. So if you see something someday saying, funny truck slogan caught by News 4, think about us. It might have been us. So again, it's all about opportunity. And I know where we work in the WIC program, we have opportunities galore. We have pregnant women who join our program. What the statistics show us is that at least in California WIC, and I'll speak specifically of Southern California WIC statistics, women are entering prenatal care early, believe it or not, and they're coming into the WIC program in their first trimester. Wow, that's six opportunities I have. Fertile opportunities, and no pun intended on that fertile piece, but wow, to talk about breastfeeding, to have this dialogue about breastfeeding, to like seed the idea, germinate it, watch it grow, and have it actually come to fruition. Lots and lots of one-on-one education pieces. This individual nutrition education we do, every single person who comes to WIC has to have a minimum of 2 nutrition ed contacts, is what the regulations say. Some of us in our programs have taken it all the way and said every WIC visit has to be an education contact. And in my agency, we see pregnant women every single month. We don't double issue them. And our reason for not doing that, double issue means giving checks for 2 months at a time, is we rationalize it with the mother saying, we need to see you every month. This is a tough time for you. You get support at WIC. So come, and they love to come to WIC. That's another thing that research has found. They don't go to a lot of other programs, but they come to the WIC program. So we have many opportunities to really impact them, and now we've really changed our dialogue. Exclusive breastfeeding. We're not no longer talking about breastfeed your baby. We're talking about what do you understand by the word exclusive breastfeeding. We finally kind of got the message, and if this mom can do it with a little help from her friends, right, from the dad, wow. Again, a calendar picture, by the way. So it starts out prenatally. In the backdrop there is a poster done by the Breastfeeding Task Force that says, breastfeeding good as gold. And it was when one of our members, Sandra Steffes' son, Ken Steffes, won a gold medal for, of all things Californian, beach volleyball. And he said, you can make me your poster boy. So we did. We had a poster of him going like this. I think it's called a spike. I called it a dunk a few times. Got yelled at. It's not a dunk. It's a spike. And we have him saying breastfeeding good as gold. Again, exploiting opportunities. Working with our pregnant moms early in the game and really working with our staff now. This has been our big effort that I wanted to share with you is we're looking at adult learning techniques. You can call it the Best Start 3-Step Counseling, which is your open-ended questions, affirmation, waiting to educate until you've figured out where they're at. You can call it counseling with love, which is, again, listening. O for open-ended question, V for validation, and then finally you do your education based on what they're saying. Or you can call it being learner-centered, meeting the mother where she's at, and affirm, affirm, affirm all the time. We have had story after story of a mom come in and say, well, I don't know if I want to breastfeed. And our staff says, well, tell me about that. Good, open-ended question. And she'll say, well, you know, the first time I did it, my baby didn't like it. And my staff goes in and says, oh, that's rubbish. What do you mean babies don't know whether they like it or not? And I'm like, oh, no, you got to affirm here. So it's always hard to find out how do you affirm when you hear things that are really, you know, difficult to affirm. And really giving them those techniques and that language about many mothers come and say this. I had this happen to me, maybe I did. You know, sometimes this happens. How do they get the words? How do they ask those open-ended questions? They're so used to saying, you want to breastfeed or bottle feed? I mean, stop. Don't say that anymore. You equate the two things. They're not equivalent. That's breastfeeding. And over here, somewhere at the back, is bottle feeding. You ask her, what do you know about breastfeeding? So we've got these cue cards. This is where we are doing all our training. We're not training them on breastfeeding benefits anymore. We're training on engagement. We're training them and we're telling them to take the monkeys off their back. We literally had them put their hands on their left side or their right side, depending on what handed they were, and saying, here you go, that monkey is off your back. It's not your problem. We may call it problem. It's not your challenge to force any mother to breastfeed, to convince her that she has to breastfeed. Your challenge is you engage her. And you ask her, what are the issues surrounding her decision? You go to that. Because you know what has been happening. And we all know this. This is from the old art. Is it jujitsu or karate? That when you have resistance and you push, what happens? The other person pushes back. And what do you have? Is resistance. Mother comes in and says, you know what? I wanted to do it, but I can't. My staff says, you got to. It's the best. Don't you know what is good for your baby, good for yourself, good for society, good for humankind? And the mother says, that may be so, but I'm not saving humankind today. Thank you very much. Don't you tell me what I have to do. These are adults we're dealing with. Let's start treating them like adults. We have not been treating our people like adults. I want to say that in the WIC program, my WIC program is responsible for some of that. We have been getting up and telling people what to do. And then we've been scratching our heads and saying, what's wrong? Why isn't it working? Well, hello, I don't like to be told what to do. That's the thing my husband always tells me. He says, you know, you have a real problem with feedback. And I always tell him, I say, it's the way you give feedback. But I hate being told what to do, even if it's good for me. No wonder my kids react like that. Mom, you're going out of town. I left two over 18-year-olds alone at home, two girls. We're going to have a party. And my husband's like, okay, I think we need to give them some rules. I'm like, I've learned, adult-centered learning. We're going to say to them, girls, we know you're responsible. We trust you. So, of course, I have my fingers, toes, and every other part of my body crossed. But I think it might work. It's looking for engagement. Ask, what are some of your questions? What would you do if something happened? You know, you have my cell phone number, call me. Same thing applies in life to our children. It does to our participants. Let's respect our people for being the adults they are. Motivational interviewing, the buzzword. There is actually a website, I believe, motivationalinterviewing.org or .com. Go to it. Look it up. Use these techniques. And again, it's open-ended questions, affirmation, repeat, repeat. What I loved about motivational interviewing was what they said in that was that to get behavior change, what you do is you do active listening and then you paraphrase everything you heard and you say it back. So the person who's just given you six reasons why they can't breastfeed, you kind of take it in and you say, so let me hear, you are having some issues with da-da-da-da-da-da, and then you keep quiet. And then what they do, and I've seen this work, is they go the next step. And in the end, if you keep doing this, by the sixth time you've done it, they are now on a problem-solving train, and it's their own train, and they're the conductors, and they're the drivers. So they go from problem to solution, and all you do is active listening, paraphrase, key word, key phrase, here and there. Huge technique. Lots and lots of learning. And I keep catching myself. It's become very distressing, actually, because every time I ask an open-ended question, I'm like, sorry, can I say that again? And people look at me and say, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I've just learned this new thing, and it's really becoming difficult for me to have normal conversations. Because it does. It changes the way you speak. You catch yourself. And I really encourage you all to look into motivational interviewing for your staff. Many of you are already doing this. We are doing the same thing with our group nutrition education classes. Instead of standing up, I'm the expert, I know it all, we are sitting down. We're giving people these little tasks, these little interactive things to do with each other. Discuss in groups. You're all pregnant. Okay, introduce yourselves. You have big name tag. Now speak to each other. Talk about your last experience. You don't quite know where it might go, but in the end, it's always worked out. Because you are whatever it is. You're still the facilitator. And you guide these discussions. And you move them on. And that's what we are all about. Learner-centered education with this principle of what we call RISE. The first thing is respect. You've got to respect your population. You've got to respect your people. The next thing is immediately relevant. So we are not teaching moms who are newly pregnant in our WIC centers. We're not teaching them about what to expect at the hospital. Because you know what? They're not going to remember it. So what we're talking to them about is who around you supports breastfeeding. Now that's relevant. They're now looking at their friends in a different way. When they're in their 7th and 8th months, we're talking about what to expect at the hospital, because research has shown that you and I only remember what is immediately relevant to us. Everything else is shelved off. Sometimes we'll go back to that memory shelf and bring it back. A lot of the times we don't. It's forgotten forever. It was very fun, but you know what's going to happen in 3 days, right? Unless you take some notes. You're going to say, yeah, that Indian woman, yeah, she had something in her nose. Now, what did she say? Ooh, I don't remember. It happens. But for those of you who that it's relevant, you're writing down some things, and you're going to do something with it. What about safety? We no longer look at the group and say, what do you have to say to somebody who may be extremely shy, completely conflicted about speaking, and may actually resent you for picking on her. So we look for safety. We put people in little groups and have them talk, and then invite them to share. And then people start raising hands because they've all processed things in their own space, in their own safety zones. Eileen?
I'm sorry if I'm stupid and ask this question, but does that work
cross-culturally
as well?
We are working with Latinas and Chinese and Vietnamese, African-Americans, Caucasians. Oh. And we've been training our staff, and our groups are all mixed. Yes, and so from what I've heard from our staff, they've had a lot of success with this, and they really, you know, in fact, it really has worked well for us to have African-American moms together with our Latina moms, because they are almost learning to understand that they have opinions. Each of them does. Doesn't matter how you look or what your experiences are. Now, the language issues sometimes come in the way, but our classes are typically English, Spanish, Chinese. So people come in groups, but they are working very well cross-culturally. The final thing is engagement. You've got to engage people. And how do people get engaged? They get engaged when it's something they care about. They get engaged when it's their experience. So we're really working on these principles. And if anybody's heard of Jane Vella, this is straight from Jane Vella's books. We worked a lot with this group called Global Learning Partners with this program called Learning to Listen, Learning to Teach, which is the thing at the bottom. And California WIC, those of you from California WIC, this is not new. You've all heard it, seen it, taken part in it. We've really made a huge effort. This is all part of our very big scheme from USDA, our big, our WIC director at USDA, Pat Daniels, who worked with revitalizing quality nutrition ed. She said, you've got opportunities for nutrition education, but the way we are doing it is not working, so let's revitalize it. And in California, that's how California is revitalizing it. We're changing our lesson plans. They've got little opportunities now built in for tasks for people to do. We give them a piece of paper that talks about breastfeeding and formula feeding, and we have them talk about what they pick out of it. We have people who are in their final trimester of pregnancy take something about what to expect at the hospital. We let them read it, or we have pictures of it, and then we have them talk about what do you think your challenges are going to be. We are no longer reading out to them. This is the best way for us to engage them. So this, in my mind, has been our most important and current creative effort in empowering the mother, which is what we've all heard is where it's at. Hospitals will change. You put pressure on them, you get people to ask for certain things, they will respond. Otherwise, people will go to other hospitals. In California, we have this wonderful program called Medi-Cal, which is the Medicaid of the rest of the world. But in California, every pregnant woman, no matter what her status in terms of citizenship, legality, and so on, it can get Medi-Cal when she's pregnant. So we have everybody hooked up in a way to a system, and they can choose where they have their babies. We actually are going to have these discussions about hospitals. I think I might have a slide a little bit. Let me wait till I get to that to tell you that. We had these postcards that we had tried initially, because what happens with WIC is those first 4 or 5 weeks right after she's had the baby, if she comes back, typically it's because she wants formula. Otherwise, you may not see her until she wants formula. So how do we get to talk to her? How do we get to know that she had her baby? This was one of our low-tech ways of giving them these postcards with stamps and addresses already on them. All the mother did, we would put the name, her ID number, you know, blessed computer number that helps you bring up all the information, and her phone number. And we would put that in the WIC center when she was with us. And all she had to do was fill this up, or somebody around her fill it up and send it back to us. We now have a wonderful computer program that helps us spit out something called EDD lists. So on a monthly basis, we run this, and EDD lists are then expected date of delivery lists, which then go out to our WIC centers. They get divided up because since we're so large, we could have anywhere from 30 to 150 mothers delivering in any given month. They have all the information, mother's name, preferred language, WIC ID number, phone number, and our staff is then asked to make these phone calls in a way to replace the postcards or in addition to the postcards. Very important, we learned with this whole issue of safety and respect, was to ask permission. Can I call you? I have a way to call you. I'd like to talk to you about when you have your baby. Is it okay? Can I have permission? Very important. When you call, ask for permission. Don't assume that she's going to say, oh, yes, Wick called me. I'm so lucky. A lot of them don't feel like that. They don't want to talk to anybody. So when you call, that's the first thing they ask for is this a good time for me to talk to you? So, you know, you think that these things are like the little niceties of life that we all know, but we don't know them. We have to relearn them. That's what we're training our staff on. Our helpline number, our breastfeeding helpline number, which now is accessed more by to a very large extent, by physicians, by non-WIC mothers, by just people who have questions about breastfeeding who have heard about the helpline. And what we were told is, change the word, and we're working on this. Don't call it a helpline. Because when you call it a helpline, what you put out there is this feeling that you need help. Do we need help? No. What does that tell me about myself? That I'm not all that. So they said, change it. Tell women not to call the helpline. Tell them to call us to tell us about your baby. How simple a little change. So we're working on that, putting it all together. This is the hospital piece that I was telling you about. We're still working on this. We're trying to make it so that we can actually shoot out these letters from our WIC centers. So something that's on a computer screen that you can just go fill in some key information, print it and mail it with a couple of explanation and descriptives, which is a letter from WIC on behalf of a client telling them about the hospital experience. Now, do you know what a lot of them say about the hospital experience, right? Yeah, it wasn't all that. So we figured if we keep sending these letters and if one hospital gets 15, 20, 30, will that make any difference? Will that press the system to say, I was not happy. I said I didn't want my baby to get any bottles. And you, or whoever you are, or whoever your staff is, guess what you did? I asked for my baby right after birth. I didn't get my baby. So real things. And what we're working right now is on formatting this so it becomes a little bit easier for every one of our WIC centers to fill this out. So this is, again, our way to keep fighting that system that is not that supportive. This is an idea from Riverside WIC. And what they do is with that mother who just has to have something because she doesn't have that confidence when she leaves WIC, they give her a can. But as you see, it has a little loving support closure on top of it, like a band-aid, saying, don't open this until you call us. And that number is that of a helpline. What an idea in WIC for people to be using is, okay, but you have to have safety, security, fine. Okay, but this is how you do it. And their rates are phenomenal. Pumps, 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 pumps. WIC can now use food funds to get breast pumps. There was actually legislation run in the last WIC reauthorization which allowed state agencies to use excess food funds, which we always have an excess of is food funds, never admin funds. And admin funds is where we bought breast pumps from. So if you work with WIC, look for these opportunities. Can they get more pumps? And in our agencies, we use them for preemie babies, working mothers, and teen moms. We've actually been able to place pumps in 5 different schools in the LA Unified School District. And what a learning that was. Not just for the teenager who was being helped, but for that entire little faculty in that little teen school. Because it was followed with an in-service. The nurse had to understand it, and then all the other supporters had to understand it because this teen had to be excused so that she could go pump. So these little ripples are going in different places. California again passed a law, Assembly Bill 2055 last year, which said that it was called the Lactation Accommodation Bill, that work sites will become breastfeeding friendly. And so we started using it for our working mothers. We only have a certain number of pumps for our working mothers program. So we open the program, we have to close it almost within a week because there is so much need for these pumps. But it's not just a cold pump that goes out like cold calling. It's accompanied with a letter to the employer that happens before the pump gets given to the mother. And one of the things that the woman who runs this program, and those of you who know Karen Meehan, will know that she's very much about evaluating our efforts. She's finding out that duration is really improving with these mothers with the pumps being out there. It's like, wow, now we can validate what we already knew instinctively. So can we build on this program? Can we get many more pumps for our working mothers? And that's what we're working on. So it's all about affirming mothers, recognizing them and validating them. Little things count. They go a long way. We've never measured the effectiveness of this. It's a feel-good thing. Our moms, they get certificates. First year, I was breastfed. Wow, you get a picture. Thank you, Mom, for giving me the best from the start. You get a picture. It may be the only picture for some of our families. We have some very poor families in our area. They love this. And again, now we have digital pictures, so it makes the quality a lot better than the Polaroids used to, which I used to talk about. Let's have moms write to us and let's display their work, not just in WIC centers, but in public libraries, in the local hospital, with the local pediatrician. Let's put them out there. And all it is a prompt that says, what makes breastfeeding so right for me? A WIC mom who's written, 25 lines of prose. Wow. And sometimes poetry. These are her words. They should be published. And we do. We have a magazine publication in our area called Sumama, which is kind of an advertising vehicle for a lot of different things. But they want articles in Spanish. So we take these missives from our WIC mothers and we stick them in Sumama, which then gets read by other WIC moms. And it's kind of a lovely circle of putting the message out. We all celebrate Breastfeeding Week. Any which way we can gives us the opportunities, gives us the messages. And then my neighbors in Northeast Valley celebrate BAM with fireworks, Breastfeeding Awareness Month. They do all kinds of amazing things with Breastfeeding Awareness Month, from seminar series to lectures to these contests within their clinics. But I love that BAM idea. I thought, that is so clever. So I'm going to kind of share that with you, just taking it away. Paycheck inserts, we've been doing these many times. We do them almost every year now for the last 6 years. We look for companies, including our own, which has not just our program, but many others. And this is what we're looking at for this year. It's too important not to, and because mothers who don't breastfeed are at higher risk of breast and ovarian cancers, because infants who are not breastfed have a higher risk of respiratory infections, et cetera, et cetera. This is going out to Tom, Dick, and Harry, you know, and everybody out there. They are going to open their paycheck, which they really want to open, and they're going to get this, is going to drop out, and they're going to pick it up, their breast, and they're going to read it. Oh, feed? Oh, darn. But wait, it attracts you. Because now it has a message that's a little alarming. And again, what we want is for the buzz to happen, for the dialogue to happen. This is one of the faces of the calendar that I've been showing you this whole time, photos from Sonoma County. California, again, you know, I'm just so proud to be a Californian. The public health grand rounds every year in August have featured a breastfeeding topic. Last year, we had Dr. Audrey Naylor present with Karen Meehan, who works with my program. They spoke about exclusive breastfeeding. This year, in August, we're going to be putting on public health grand rounds Kay Dewey, another physician, and what they're going to talk about is something about ramifications of infant feeding choices. So the word breastfeeding isn't in there. And they're going to talk about diabetes specifically, and I believe obesity, and KJU is going to present a whole bunch of her data on breastfeeding and obesity. And then we're going to get 15 minutes, is Gina still here, to talk about the national media campaign on breastfeeding. And then this is our task force's website, www.breastfeedla.org. Encourage you to go on it. Fabulous website, amazing bunch of individuals who come together at this breastfeeding task force that has gone on now for 10 years. 10 years? Karen Peters is our executive director, Wave Karen. Everybody knows you. And is working just amazingly to do fabulous things with us. A new project at USDA, if you haven't heard, Dads Do Matter. Images are very important. So this Father Supporting Breastfeeding Project, which is a video guide aimed at African-American mothers and fathers and families. Just wonderful. I encourage you to look for it, get it, preview it, and then put it out there. Let people relate to this because it's very contemporarily done. And Eileen, you've seen this, right? It's got this dad, he's cutting a disc, so he's very musical, and it's just really natural. And then this poster that they've got, Breastfeeding Your Baby. Now, if this website is not easy to see, just go to www.fns or go to usda.gov, and you'll go onto this website when you go to WIC. You'll see FNS, you'll find this, I guarantee you. The web has made everything so easy. Or go to our website, breastfeedla.org, and you'll see a connection to this website. And then from the National WIC Association that has been working for its members for over the last 17, 18 years, a brand new, among other things, they do a calendar every year with breastfeeding messages, which goes out to 500,000 families. This year, for next year rather, this is going to be a poster that you can purchase and put up at your favorite pediatrician's or unfavorite pediatrician's office or anywhere else, and it says, "Hey, Mom and Dad, did you know breast milk is the best food for a baby's fast-growing body and brain? Please breastfeed." We figure when all else fails, beg. Right? It works for cookies, so why shouldn't it for breastfeeding? And then a slogan that's going to come out for the WIC program with the Ad Council. Your child has you, and you have WIC. And I think the last line we'll add behind it is, "And WIC supports breastfeeding." I don't think that will happen, but great poster. It will be available soon. So the bottom line. Ha! You know, I didn't think I could talk so much, but everybody always tells me, of course you can. So what is the bottom line? We do live in a world where things get very explosive when we talk about infant formula. There's no doubt about it. There are days that I wanted to bomb the living daylights out of it, but there is a need for it. And there is a definite need for it in some places. So what can we do to live with it, to coexist with it. Let's look at changing the environment. This was an idea, we floated it so many times out there. Are there any takers? Who comes from a state with a progressive senator? Who do you have ear to? Who listen to you? Who you may have dinner with? But, you know, Massachusetts is a small place. Eileen is a powerful woman. I think she can do something. Hey, there you go. Can we get a label on? Can we at least let women know where the label can say, just like breast milk on the lipple, can we get a label on that talks about formula? In California, again, I'm so proud to be a Cal. Have I said that? Are you sick of me for saying that? The California WIC Association, incredible partner. They look for every opportunity to do things. So our formula rebate contract is changing in August. Of course it has to be August, right? So here's World Breastfeeding Week, and we are telling people, you're not going to get Similac instead of Mead Johnson and Enfamil. Not a happy time. So the state held some listening sessions for what are your issues and concerns around this contract. And we took that opportunity and converted it to a breastfeeding opportunity. We had press conferences in Southern California, and we did these listening sessions that we loaded with breastfeeding advocates who came and spoke to the state directly one-on-one on the issues and problems of marketing. Our WIC chief heard the message and has taken it on and has said and spoken about it at the U.S., at the National WIC Association in front of the entire panel of USDA. And this was one of the news articles that came out where breastfeeding advocates want to put a stop to aggressive marketing campaigns by formula companies. And how many of you saw the piece that came out of the New York Times which talked about super baby formulas and talked about the whole lipolization of the world and how bad that was and what formula companies were doing to market to the world? And then the message, the Ad Council campaign that's going to come out around this message of breastfeed. It's too important not to. Our mothers know about why they should breastfeed. Let's hit it from the angle of what happens if you don't breastfeed. Now, people might say, oh, you're scaring people into breastfeeding. But you know what? We scared them to stop smoking. Yeah? We scared them to start using car seats. So I think any kind of a public service campaign needs to be all that it can be, and this is certainly all that it can be. So let's put these buttons and let's walk around telling people, ask me about the National Breastfeeding Awareness Campaign. Dr. Susan Haynes will be here tomorrow. She'll talk to you about it. If you haven't already heard, go listen. It's real important to understand the reason behind the crystallization of this campaign slogan. And we know this. Let's talk about how formula-fed babies, they're very cute, but they do have a risk of becoming obese. Let's tell people the reality. This is something everybody's worried about. Let's really look at our populations where we need to promote breastfeeding. Let's put images out there. We don't have enough pictures of African-American women breastfeeding. Kathy Berber in Washington is making a big effort to collect art and images around breastfeeding mom, African-American moms breastfeeding. Let's put those out when we have populations that we serve that are African-American and normalize it. And then let's change public policy. We heard about the WHO code earlier. The U.S. actually signed on to it in 1994, but not that you or I could notice. What can we do to make this a possibility? Let's talk about the real WMDs. Let's put the word out to Bush. The real WMDs, the weapons of mass deception, are sitting right here. This is what they are. Enfamil Lipol with iron, just like breast milk. Similac with iron with an $8 coupon that is directly sent to a brand new mother. I said to somebody, heck, for $8, I'd buy the darn thing. I'd put it in my dahlias. Maybe they have real smart faces when they come out. You know, they might be very good for plants, but $8? This is bribery. This is wrong. And then, see this one. This is the brand. Have you all seen this one? It says the leading infant formula brand in Latin America, now available in the U.S. A familiar choice for Hispanic consumers. I think this is so derogatory. I think this is so rude. I think this is so culturally inappropriate. I wish everyone who speaks Spanish would rise up against Nestle for this kind of a commercial. It makes you think your kid's going to speak Spanish if he drinks this. That is ridiculous. That is bad advertising. That is just wrong. And we talk about collateral damage, right? We went to war in Iraq. We looked for WMDs. A lot of people died with collateral damage. This is our collateral damage. All our babies that are bottle-fed and that are deprived of the benefits of breast milk. So let me tell you some good news that's so hot off the press. I shared it yesterday. WIC is being reauthorized this year. And Eileen is nodding because I sent her this and said, we should do something with this. And Ross is circulating a resolution, which has made it to the staffers on the Senate side, which basically says there's seven whereases about whereas WIC does this. They want WIC to promote breastfeeding, and they want the Secretary of Agriculture to promise to promote breastfeeding by 2 percentage points every year. This is the Ross resolution. They sent it on to National WIC Association and said, will you sign on to it? I got a call from the National WIC Association director, which is the reason why I took on one more thing in my life, which is to become the secretary of the association, only because I wanted to have a presence. So when he called me, first I got apoplectic. Slow down. This excites me so much, it enrages me. I apologize for the speed. So at first I got really mad about it and said, stop, how can Ross have the temerity to say something like this in a resolution, telling WIC to do more about promoting breastfeeding while at the same time... Anyway, I thought about it. And so what NWA has done is said, okay, we will support the resolution if you add something to it. What we've had them add is, be it further resolved that in recognition of their commitment to the intent and goals of this resolution and their shared responsibility, infant formula manufacturers agree to adhere to the World Health Organization's code for marketing artificial breast milk substitutes. And we've written in our little small text, WIC cannot accept all the responsibility. We need formula companies to recognize this is a shared responsibility. So now what I want is all of us should support this resolution. Let's get it into reauthorization. We've got it into law then, something about the WHO code. And if it means write a letter, if it means call your senator, if it means whatever it means, let's start doing it. Somebody came up to me the other day and said, what does it mean? I said, you know, this happened on last Thursday. I still need to understand what it means, but I promise to get the word out through every channel I know that is available to me, through Eileen's WIC Breastfeeding Net, which is a chat group for all the people involved in WIC with breastfeeding, through various talk forums, through our website. We'll put the resolution up and we'll tell you what to do with it as soon as I hear from the NWA Executive Director. So my point is, be creative. You can beat them at their game. Give me a sec, I'll just come to you. And so this day may not be far behind. The Daily Eternal Optimist. I mean, wow. We are almost there. We've all seen a change. And so we are optimistic to get this baby, to help him get there and stay there. Not just initiation, duration. So, what are your ideas? How many minutes do I have? I'm over. Okay, so, for this to be really relevant, before we leave, just talk amongst yourselves about some ideas. Just keeping this in mind. Ethical decisions that injure a firm's ability to compete are actually immoral. This is from the CEO of Nestle. I kept this slide very cold and very hard. I didn't give it a background because this is shocking. But we know what Nestle is all about. We know about all the damage it did, the collateral damage, those hundreds of thousands of babies who've died. If you haven't read this, I know it's available here. Pick it up. Required reading, guys. Opens your eyes about the politics. This is our success. Our little preemie babies whose mothers have pumped milk for their babies. These babies are thriving. They still have so much milk. We can produce. We are great producers. Here's another one. These are all our WIC babies. They have lived because they got their mother's breast milk. And then how can we get away from these wonderful images? So, I gave you all this thing in between. Some of you got it. This is a song. We need to celebrate. Who's going to help me sing this? I am a very bad singer. So, come on. Let's go. Remember these boots are made for walking? Okay, so come on. If somebody give me a beat. All right. Let's go. You keep saying there's something wrong with this. Somehow something that makes it so taboo. You keep thinking that it may cause a commotion. Yes. But what I've got in mind is nothing new. That was really bad. I'm sorry. These breasts are made for nursing, and that's just what they'll do. And one of these days, these breasts will get the respect that they are due. Woo! Woo! I apologize for going over. I will stay for questions. I promise you, I'm here. I'm yours. And thank you for being such a great audience.